Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
I want to talk with you this morning and about being renewed. How many of you know that this new year is about being renewed, this new door that God is opening? God wants to renew you. I really believe we're in a place that God's going to renew some things. He's going to renew health. He's going to renew strength. He's going to renew spiritual understanding. He just wants to renew you. But if we're going to move into that, then we need to understand some principles that will help us. You know, if you go to the doctor and he examines you and goes through some things with that, and it advises you, if the doctor advises you and you do what the doctor says, it will renew you. But if you know if they say take this every day and you take it every other week, you're probably not going to get the benefits out of it that you should be getting. And so in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, it said, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." Let me just share with you, it is not just a cakewalk. It's not just a party type atmosphere that's going to bring you into being renewed. You've got, listen, to have something you've never had, you've got to do things you've never done, you're going to have to press through some things. There are birth pains that are taking place right now, and many people are throwing the towel in. The remnant from within the remnant is being called forward, but some that even 3 years ago that were strong remnant covenant people have now taken a step back and said it's too hard. They want to blame it on religion. They want to blame it on the church. They want to blame it on the structure. And God is reforming the church. He's trying to bring us back. But we don't need to get into this blame game. Listen, if you listen to the Communist News Network or Fox News, either one, you're going to find out that the left is blaming the right and the Republicans are blaming the Democrat, and nobody wants to take responsibility for anything. I just saw a video on somewhere about a young man who became intoxicated and hit someone and killed them. And he's come forth and turned himself in, and on Monday or Tuesday he's going to plead guilty and take what it's at. Now the family who are shattered that lost a loved one, they're being very critical of what he's done. But I want to tell you, I'm like what the prosecuting attorney said. It's about time that people step up and they take responsibility for their action. Anybody here beside me ever been given a speeding ticket? Okay. Let me just tell you, when you get caught, be truthful. Don't try to blame it on other things. Don't try to, you know, with that, if you're breaking the law, you're breaking the law. Take responsibility. There is responsibility. There, whatever you sow, you reap. Can you say amen? Do not limit God by your belief system. I don't know how to say what I want to say, but I'm going to try to say. My relationship with God carries me through areas that my belief system limits me. Does that make sense to you? God is able to do in my life beyond where my belief system will let me believe, because I keep constant and intimate relationship with Him. If it comes down to increasing your belief system or increasing your relationship, go for relationship. It works. It gives you. Now, let's look at a couple of scriptures. In Ephesians 4 and 22, it said that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, how many of you believe that we've got instruction to put off the old man and put on the new man? But to be able to put off the old man, you first got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let me tell you what the spirit of the mind represents. Your former learned behavior. I'm fully convinced that the church is in error because what we do, we've taught people how to put on new behaviors without putting off the old man first. If it only becomes a behavior to know how to raise your hand or know how to do this or do that, but it's not really, your mind's not been renewed, the spirit of your mind's not been renewed, then all it's going to do is be something temporal. But when you are really renewed in the spirit of mind, let's talk about the spirit of the mind. I'm gonna try to give you some imagery for it. I believe the spirit of the mind is like a thin membrane. That every bit of information and knowledge that comes to you, it has to pass through everything you've learned up to now. Anybody here come out of traditional Christianity that maybe is, you were taught that God doesn't heal today or even beyond that, God put sickness on people to teach people things? Hold your hand up if you came out of that. Come on. But how many of you realize, I have found in my journey now that those are some of the hardest people to get healed. I'm not being mean-spirited against you, but I'm just being honest. They're hard because, listen, it's either that he heals or he doesn't. And here's what I know, he does. But see, the question is, does everybody get healed? No. Why is that? Well, some of it has to do with the people themselves. Some of it has to do with several things that we could go into, but that's not where I want you to understand these former learned things. How many of you come here long enough to know that I'm a little bit biased towards GMC trucks? What? Okay. You know, all my life growing up, I heard this story about how my grandfather bought this Ford vehicle and it stayed broke down all the time and almost broke him. Now, you don't believe these things affect you, but they do affect you. It's like the story of the daughter who was getting ready to cook a ham for Thanksgiving, and her mother said to her, "Cut both ends of that ham off." And she said, "Mom, you've always taught me to do that. But I don't understand why." And her mother said, "Well, you know, I don't know why. But when grandmother gets here today, let's ask her, because she taught me." And when grandmother got there that day, she said, "Mama, why did you teach us to cut both ends of the ham off?" And grandmother looked at him and said, "You silly girls, I had to because my oven was so small." When I married my wife, you know, her dad had taught her to cut the air condition off on cars before you try to start them. Okay? Let me just share with you, that was true up until about 62 or 63 when they learned how in the switch that when you go to send fire to the starter, everything else electrical is disconnected. You don't have to do that anymore. But because she was taught that by her dad who had learned that, she was still doing, am I helping you see? She was still doing some things that were no longer necessary. Come on, think about it. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Now let's go on just a little bit further. But in Romans 6 and 56, it says, "For you have been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." Amen. Do you know that Christianity is the only, there's many religions around the world. But Christianity, not Islam, not Hindu, not Hare Krishna, not Christianity is the only one that has resurrection a part of it. It's the only one. Let me tell you, Buddha rotted. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, a flesh and blood man, is seated in the heavenlies with God. And we need to understand, I had this revelation recently, some of you heard me tell, Resurrection is the power of reversal. When he resurrected, death was reversed. Come on. And we need to realize that it is the power of resurrection that's needed. I love the cross, but I want to tell you, the cross without his resurrection would only get us forgiven. It's through the power, the dunamis, the dynamo power of the resurrection that empowers us so that Romans 6:14 is true, which says sin shall not have dominion over you. I hope you're not, I can't remember who wrote it. Somebody put on Facebook this week that Christians are not perfect, that they fall, but God always picks them up. But, you know, why do we always focus on the ability to fall? Why can't we focus on the fact that we don't have to fall? I mean, is that a wrong? Is that making it too hard? I know that I'm not perfect. I know that you're not perfect. But what I'm talking about, why do we always focus on a relief plug to where we have to say we're not perfect and we justify it when the truth of the matter is he is perfecting us. You know, the big thing in the Bible Belt is once saved, always saved. People ask me all the time. I mean, Jim, I still get asked it. What do you believe? Well, I believe I've been saved once and I'm always going to be saved. Because I'm not going to turn my back on him. I'm not going to walk away. But what I want you to catch today, we've got to get renewed up here in the spirit of our mind. Because you'll never put off the old man until you become renewed in the spirit. We got to take on a new way of thinking. Right? How many of you have caught your thinking hindering you? See, the old man is only awakened, listen to this, through the knowledge of good and evil. The old man always wants to eat off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The new man wants the tree of life. How many of you are drawn to life? I want to be around life. Was there not life on that little boy singing about his exes and dexes? I know we could get real spiritual and say, a merry heart doeth good, like about, you know, but there was life on that. When I found that the other day, oh my goodness. You know, I mean, I like to have a good chuckle, and I thought that was the funniest thing. I mean, that's just like a kid, isn't it? You know, it's just like, I mean, man, he was a ham. He wanted, you know, it wasn't good enough to sing the books of the New Testament, you know. He wanted to get a little bit of George Strait in there, all right? He wanted to honor the man in Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. To put on the new man, you got to first put off the old man. To put off the old man, you got to first be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You're going to have to think different. About 20 years ago now, maybe a little bit over, I began to reread the Bible, examining everything that I believed and why I believed it. And I found at least 8 or 9 things that I believe, because I've been taught by someone who believed that way, that I could not substantiate in God's Word. Just letting that settle. Now, let me just say, for those of you this might make nervous, I believe very much in the second coming of Christ. Amen. He's coming, and when he comes, I'm his. If he comes tonight, I'm his. If he comes next week, I'm his. If he doesn't come in my life, I'm going to give up the ghost. And this suit of clothes, I'm not talking about the clothes, but this body is going to go back to dust. And that ain't a bad thing. Are you hearing me? Like, I laugh about it. I told Brian, my son-in-law, and my son Dean, if it got down to where I was bad enough and I was fighting to live when I didn't need to live, just put me in an old wooden boat, set it on fire, and push me in the Mississippi. Let's get it over with. Now, you might not laugh about it, but I don't want to stay beyond my time. I want every second of my time, but I don't want to stay. So we've got to be renewed. Let's talk about this. The old man reacts to circumstances. The new man responds to Spirit and Word of God. The old man partakes of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The new man partakes of the tree of life. The old man is produced through sin. We find that in Genesis 3, in case you want to read there. About the first 24 verses. The old man is produced through sin. The new man is created through grace. There's grace. You know, you shared about a little bit of challenging times with me before the service today. There's grace. I don't care what comes at you, how hard it is, whatever's going on. There's a grace. And if you'll, listen, you got to embrace it and engage it. Grace doesn't just shift things and make it happen. You've got to put it to work. If I would buy Ben here a new lawnmower, and he kept it in his garage all the time, how many of you know that his yard would grow up and look bad? You got to engage what it was sent to do or what it was given to do if it's going to work for you. Am I making any sense to you? Now, let me give you seven reasons why we must repent. The word repentance doesn't mean just say you're sorry. It actually means, when you go into the depth of the root word of it, it means to think differently. When you repent, you turn from that which was producing death. If that would be homosexuality, if that would be adultery, if that would be alcohol abuse, if that would be pornography, whatever it is that you're medicating yourself with, when you turn from that and turn to He who gives life, you still got to take on a new way of thinking. I love what Bob Dylan said. Take on a new way of thinking, a new set of rules, put your best foot forward, and quit listening to fools. If you'll do that, repentance has begun. See, conviction is what God does. Repentance is what you do. And redemption, when conviction and repentance are put together, you get redemption. See, I know people who've tried to repent for things that God is not convicting them of. They repent for things that other people point out in their life because other people believe that it's sin, and they point it out to them, and therefore they try to repent for it when the wind of God is not blowing on it. Oh, let me just go on and mess you up real good. See, what might not be sin to you today might become sin to you tomorrow. And what might have been sin to you today might become not sin to you tomorrow. Dive into that and look at it. I didn't watch a movie. I didn't listen to a song in the 80s when I got born again in 1981. We got rid. I mean, we burned albums that I could sell them on eBay today and retire. I mean, we studied the hidden dangers of the rainbow and backmasking. And I mean, we went through all this. It's Don and Dorothy's fault. No. We went through all that. And I mean, we didn't watch a movie. People talk about movies and songs that were written in the 80s. I mean, all the way through. And then after we got Christ formed in us, we were strong enough to say no. We knew what was crossing our conscience, which is an authority. And there were things that we could do that weren't sin, that we had thought for a period were sin. And we found out that there was some liberty there, and it didn't cause us to stumble. I just preached to you in about 3 minutes, 2 minutes there, the gospel that's going to get the younger culture. Because I'm telling you telling them they can't do this ain't going to get it. But if we can raise them up to where their conscience will speak to them. You need to learn how that when you've crossed your conscience. We've got to raise up a people that know, you know, with that. You got to know that you're crossing your conscience. See, some of you, when you're asked by leadership to do something that you don't have time to do and don't want to do, you cross your conscience by giving them the answer you think they want. Some of you are chewing on that. Here's some things about repentance. I'm just going to give you the scriptures for time's sake. God commands you to repent. Acts 17:30. We're commanded to repent. Repentance is a way of life. It produces life. When you turn from things that are producing death in your life and you turn to He who gives life and you take on a new way of thinking, I want to tell you, things get better. Number two, repentance was the reason Jesus came into the world. Luke 5 and verse 32. Number three, repentance is necessary to avoid destruction. Luke 13 verses 3 and 5. Number four, repentance is necessary for forgiveness. You find that in Acts 3:19, but also Luke 17:3. Number five, repentance is necessary to enter the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. If you're not living a life of repentance, you're not operating in the kingdom. Let me just share something with you. I'm just really on a roll today. But there are people who are born again who don't operate in the kingdom, and there are people who are not born again who operate in the kingdom.
Yeah, come on.
Chew on that one. See, there, you have to understand, everybody wants to quote the Bible, but there are kingdom principles you can find in the Bible, but there are universal principles because the kingdom is universal. The kingdom is about life and death. Man has made the Bible about right and wrong. The kingdom is about life and death. Man has made the Bible about right and wrong. When I read God's word, I don't find things that are right and things that are wrong. I find things that produce life and things that produce death. Years ago, we had a couple came to us. They were living together, came to the elders in Dyersburg, sat with the elders and said, "We're living together and we want to be married, and we know you're going to tell us we're in sin and this is not right, but we want to be married." And I looked, she had been raised up in the church, and I looked at her right now and I said, "No, I'm not going to tell you that's wrong." She said, "You mean us living together is not wrong?" I said, "No, I didn't say that. I said, I'm not going to tell you it's wrong because I don't believe it is wrong. I believe that, but I do believe that it will not produce life, it produces death." And when I did, a light bulb went off in her. And this is what the couple said to us, said, "Tell us more." And we walked them through how God's words and kingdom principles and kingdom protocol produce life and not death. And we walked them through it. At the end of it, they said, "Well, if we move apart and I move back in with my mom and he stays in the apartment we have for 2 months and we go through pre-marriage counseling, would you marry us?" I said, "Certainly." Can I tell you what would have happened if I'd have looked at him and said, "You know, y'all shacking up and you're in sin and God's not pleased with it and he's ready to kill you and send you to hell." And they'd have walked out of there and found some other preacher or justice of the peace. Can I just throw this in because I'm... Let me tell you why it's important to go to a minister to have your vows done, your wedding done. The power of agreement with heaven. The justice of the peace can't give you that. The covenant of marriage is about the power of agreement. Let me finish this up. Number six, God desires for all men to repent. 2 Peter 3 and 9. Number seven, repentance leads to life. Acts chapter 11, verse 18. In Colossians 3, 9 and 10, it says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him." Listen, your knowledge must always be according to His image. Can I tell you what the knowledge that the church has operated on in the Western world for the last 50 years? The image. Man's image.
Yeah.
I love it when guests come and visit here with us. And I mean, we had this happen recently. I won't say when it was. A couple came in, and because the worship, you know, the presence was so strong here, they didn't last 15 minutes in worship, and they had to get up and leave. We had it happen probably 6 or 7 years ago. A couple got up, and the Lord told me, said, go ask them why they're leaving. And I caught them in the hallway. They'd actually came in through this door here, and I caught them, and I said, is there something wrong? Have we done something wrong here? And because they didn't just slip out. They just abruptly, and you could tell there was an attitude with it. And the lady looked me right in the eye, and she said, yeah, we're leaving because God's not here. And I said, could you help me understand how God's not here? And she said, and the husband began to speak. They said, well, my wife has more discernment than anybody in the Mid-South, and she can tell within 15 minutes of any church service whether God's in a place or not. And when they got out of earshot from me, I said, pride goeth before fall. Are you hearing me? Go with me now to Matthew 6, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they answered and said, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, others say you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now let's go back to where he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. What? Revealed what? See, revealed who the Son of God really is. Who is he to you? Who is this man that we call Jesus? You know, I talked with a rabbi this week, and all of the old books, the manuscripts and everything that they have going back. Jesus, up until when he was 30 years of age, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it. Jim Mike can pronounce it. I'm not going to. But they called him Yeshua, son of Joseph. Up until when he was 30 years of age. You know, I said to you, and I need to have a talk with someone because they've come and give me some things that I'm still praying into, and I honor your input into this. But a few weeks ago when I drove into Evansville, Indiana, this is what God said to me. He said, would Joseph and Mary have given their son a Greek name? You may just mess me up. It's like, I mean, now come on, you know, we've got to realize, I mean, you didn't hear that, I heard it, but God doesn't ask a question because he needs my answer.
That's right.
He asked this question because he's wanting me to dig into something, and I'm digging into it. But what I'm telling you about it, we need to realize that he is Yeshua. He was the son of Joseph. He was also the son of man and the son of God. Do you know that when you look into the stars and you see the twins up there, that's actually the gospel in the stars. It's the Son of Man, the Son of God, because he's both of them. Let me move on. Let me give you six progressions to renewing the spirit of your mind. Number one, you got a desire to change. I think it's Isaiah 55:19. Might be Psalms 55:19. I didn't write this one down. It says, they change not because they have no fear of God. People who are not willing to change have no fear of God. But you got a desire to change. Proverbs 6:23 speaks about desiring to change. Isaiah 26:9 does. Number two, you need to apply the knowledge you have. What is it you've got? I love what Paul wrote in the first chapter of Romans. He said, for as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel. Who can I pick on? If Amos got born again today, and he wants to preach the gospel, and all he understands is John 3:16, that's good enough to preach with. For as much as is in me now, I'm ready to preach the gospel. You take what God has given you at this point, and you share it as truth and bring glory to his name to other people. It's not about becoming a theologian. I want to tell you, people run from them. Number three, you need to live by the word and repent when you fail. Anybody here beside me remember the first time after you were born again that you sinned and you need to apply 1 John 1:9? I think I shared just a couple of weeks ago mine. I was with a guy named Chuck Butcher, and he had rode to Memphis with me, and Chuck was discipling me, and you know, we almost had a wreck here in Memphis. It was one of those rainy days in November, and a lady came across two or three lanes of traffic, and I had to run up in a parking lot to keep her from broadsiding. And I mean, you know, you have to understand, I mean, I've been born again just four or five months is all. I mean, just a few months, with it. And when this happened, this is what I did. I said, God bless America. But in my heart said something else. Because before I was born again, I would take God's name in vain. And I was so embarrassed because this man was my hero. He was discipling me at that time. Da, 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 da. And I remember when we got back to, I went to the house and I got in the shower. And I cried out to God. I said, God, I took your name in vain a while ago. Will you forgive me? I felt just as clean as the night, March the 24th, 1981, when I asked him to come into my life for the first time. Yeah, I hope you're not experiencing that on a frequent basis, but I hope you've experienced that a few times since you've been born again. I hope you understand to know the total forgiveness of God, because let me just tell you, you're not going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind if you're not willing to live in a perpetual state of repentance and forgiveness. Repentance is something that it's lifestyle. It's not just something, we're all the time changing. Anybody here ever met somebody and you think you're not going to like them? You think, you misjudge them? And then all of a sudden you find out that, wow, was I wrong about them? I looked at their outward appearance and I decided with that. See, that's called changing your mind. Or you can live in the foolishness and the stupidity. Number four, you need to guard your new state of mind. You find that in 2 Corinthians 10:5-6. Listen, you need to guard this. How do you guard it? Stay in God's word. Worship music. Surround yourself by those who are speaking kingdom principles, who are living it out. Cut off those people who want to pull you away. I have someone in my life that I care very much about, but they're into deception, they're away from God, and they just text me something during the worship a while ago about a group of people who helped them, and how wonderful these people are, but this group of people are anti-God. How many of you know anti-God people will help you so they can get their hooks in you? Number five, you need to cut off anything of the past that has ungodly influence in your life. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Number six, you need to make yourself totally dependent upon God. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. How many of you realize that we've really slipped in this nation to where we're trusting Uncle Sam to do things that we need to be trusting God to do? Amen. I wrote something and put it this week on Facebook. Chuck, I don't know if you can find that one I put on there about the kingdom and put it on with that. I don't have it where I can pull it up, but it really went viral out there. I mean, with pros and cons. But see, we got to get back to trusting God. Can I ask you something? If you're having pain in your body, and you're a person that believes in the covenant of God, and you believe in the healing covenant of God, and the provision of God's ability to heal you, and you run to the doctor before you pray, could that be disobedience? Would somebody finish this scripture with me? Is there any sick among you, or is there any afflicted among you? See, 80% of you said, let them call on the elder church. That's not what it said. Is there any afflicted among you? Let them pray. But you know what? The charismatic, spirit-filled Pentecostal movement has created. We've created this thing about it's far much easier to run to the front and use our faith to get healed rather than us doing some praying. What's going to happen? Who can I pick on? When Finus runs to the front one Sunday and he's had back pain all week, he's not said one prayer, and he wants the elders to anoint him with oil and to be praying, and somebody's really in tune with God, and they look at him and they say, I can't pray for you. You ain't been praying. That's not very seeker friendly. You could probably have a corporate downsizing as a result of that. The kingdom people seek significance. No, that's not it. It's another one. It's on that same paper. There's another one. It's on that same backing. But when I just posted it on recently, since that one. But we've got to come back to this. I mean, come on. I want you to catch that. Would it be disobedience for you to expect somebody else's faith to make you whole when you're not willing to release your own? It does say, is there any afflicted among you? Let them pray. Is there any sick among you? How many of you know that most sickness starts out as afflictions? There's a difference. In fact, let me just share with you what I've come to understand. I believe that most sickness starts out as lying symptoms.
Yeah, that's right.
Not all. How many of you know if a man drinks for 25 years every day of his life and he gets cirrhosis of the liver, that's not the devil? He's reaping what he sowed. Amen? If you don't take care of yourself and you don't exercise and you don't eat the right foods and all that and your cholesterol goes through the roof, that's not just the work of the devil. I'm preaching better than your amen. Let me finish up. Let me give you four progressions to a renewed mind. Remember, I gave you six progressions to renewing the spirit of your mind. Now I'm going to give you four to a renewed mind. Number one, read the Word of God. Isn't it amazing how busy we are? Do you know that doesn't mean you got to read the Bible through every year? That doesn't mean you got to read chapters every day. Read some of the Word of God daily and meditate on what you've read. Read it. You want your mind renewed? Read God's Word. Number two, let me just say that reading the Word of God will cause you to think differently. I remember when I got born again, someone suggested me to read the book of John. And it really worked. It helped me understand the love of God. I mean, it just, wow. When I got through reading the book of John, I knew that he was for me and not against me. Number two, pray the Word of God. One of my all-time favorite scriptures to pray is Psalms 25:14. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear God, and he will make his covenant known unto you. Let me tell you what that's saying. That's not saying that you'll discover in His Word and read about the covenant. It means that when your body needs healed,
yes,
that covenant will be revealed to you. Are you hearing me? How many of you need His covenant revealed to you? Katie's back working with the children this morning, but of course, most of you, some of the guests won't know, but Amos and Katie live with Susan and I, and so we've become very connected to them just out of the fact of living under the same roof. You just do that. But the favor of God's just on her. Amen?
Amen.
The favor of God is with it, and there's nothing like the favor of God. I've had periods of time when I didn't have the favor, and I've had periods of time when I had the favor. I could talk to you. I mean, one of my all-time favorite testimonies of the favor of God is when several years ago, I was flying to it was 2010, I flew to the Navajo Indians, and I decided that I would fly American Airlines. Not that American's bad, but I just always flew Delta. And I get there early in the morning, Jim, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I push my thing into the kiosk to get my boarding ticket, and it said, go to the desk. I gotta tell you, my attitude wasn't real good. What's wrong now? First time I fly another airline, I got to go to the desk. And I get there, and this is what the lady says to me. She says, Mr. Nash, and I don't remember the years now with it, but I'm just going to use a number. She said, we showing our records. It's been 11 years since you've flown with American Airlines. Would you believe they keep that kind of information? Now, see, you have to understand, I have about 800,000 miles racked up with American before I switched. And she said, we'd really like to get all your business back. So today, we're going to upgrade you to first class going all the way to Albuquerque. Favor. Oh, yeah, listen, if you want to be really, they had a program going. They're trying to get customers back, and they need more business. You know, they declared back, you can just, no, favor.
Amen.
It's like when we flew into Seattle, Susan and I won. We used to always do the red-eye flight and get there real late at night. And, you know, and I'd gotten there about a month before when I used to do all that ministry on the West Coast. And I was with Hearst, and all I had to do was walk out, and my name was on a board, and it said, you know, 26, and I went 26, and I didn't have to sign any papers to rent a car. You know, I had this premier package, or whatever it's called, preferred package, and all that, and my name wasn't on the board, and the car wasn't there, and an hour later, I'm still going around and around with the guy inside trying to be nice but stern. And I get there the second time a month later, and my name's not on the board again. And I go inside, and I said, you know, what's up? And they said, oh, excuse us. Said, we showed last time that you had some trouble, and we just wanted to make up for the trouble you went through. Said, we're upgrading you. I'd rented this. I was headed to Canada. I had this little bitty compact car, you know, two-door. You know, I mean, I was going to have to, you know, do this to get Susan in the other side after we got all the bags. I was going to have to push the door to get it to shut, you know, with that. And I said, well, what's this going to cost me? Nothing. Well, what are you upgrading me to? A Lincoln Town Car. Now, you know, I don't have to have a Lincoln Town Car. I can drive my GMC pickup or my Volkswagen station wagon. But let me tell you what it's about. I got up to Vancouver, and I got ready to head back, and two of my friends were up there and need to ride to the airport in Seattle. And one of them is a big guy, Mark Carbone, big guy. The other is Bob Nichols, big, tall guy. I mean, he's taller than Jim, and all their bags. There's no way he would have gotten that compact car. See, God knew the situation before I got there, and He gave faith. Are you hearing me? You can live in the faith. See, the favor of God is for everyone. See, praying the Word of God will cause you to feel different. Somewhere on the table out there, we've got the testimony of Milton Green. We got it all typed out, and Stormy. You know, the lady DJ in town, she's actually got a CD of it. You can listen to it. Years ago, we didn't even know Don and Dorothy, but they were in that same meeting when Milton Green did that. In fact, when I found the video of it, when Milton Green's up doing this, there's this big bearded, black-haired guy gets up and goes down to the altar while he's doing it. It was me. And can I tell you what? That was a moment. That's when God set me free from lust and prejudice toward blacks. My life changed that day. I heard chains break with that. And I got to know Milton and spend time with him. But he used to stand flat-footed for 17 minutes and quote the Word of God. And you know what we did? We got the CD of it, and or I wasn't a CD then. We got the cassette of it, and we typed it out. And I carried it, folded up in my back pocket for 10 years. And every day I read that. 17 minutes of what God's Word said about me. And somewhere out of 10 years of time, it's actually almost 11 years of time, somewhere about 3 or 4 years into it, I began to believe what God was saying. And I changed. And that's the reason we got it on the table out there. So that you can get it. You can listen to it. Or you can. We've tweaked it. We've gotten rid of the King James and brought it into a little bit more contemporary language. But it'll change. In fact, I want you to have one. I'm going to give you one before you leave here today. It'll change your life. I want to say this for our guests and visitors and new people here. What's this about, you might be saying? Let me tell you why I'm here. I'm not here because I need somewhere to preach. I was actually planning to enjoy the Sunday morning service at Gloria Zion this morning. You don't know what it's like when you preach as much as we do to have a Sunday off. It's really wonderful. I remember the first time that we ever had that and everything. My wife, we slept in that morning. We had been traveling, got somewhere, and didn't have anywhere to preach. And she said, "This is backsliding. I like it." That doesn't give you an excuse to stay home. Are you hearing me? Let me tell you why I'm preaching this way. Because I'm determined to raise up an army that can make a difference. Because I believe we need family over here, but we need army over here. I believe we can get healthy families. And if you're renewed the spirit in the spirit of your mind and your mind, you'll become a healthy family. And if we can get some healthy families, we can have a healthy army. And let me tell you what, a healthy army, when you keep your army healthy, when you've got a healthy army, you can accomplish something. Meditate on the Word of God. You know, meditation is something we've just about quit doing in the Christian church. Everybody's so afraid. You know, I went to Phoenix, Arizona to preach in a church one time and was going to preach on meditation, and the pastor stopped me. And he said, "You're going to have to use some other words. So we're too close to Sedona, and they teach meditation up there, and that's a New Age word." I said, "No, it's a Bible word." And he wouldn't let me preach. I got on a plane and flew home. But can I just share something with you? Not this summer, but summer a year ago, Dawn and Brian, we rode our scooters to Sedona. How many of you love me? Bert, a couple of you big guys get on the door so nobody can leave. There was more of an open heaven in Sedona than it is in Memphis, Tennessee. Religion has tried to close this city off. The heaven for revelation was far more open because there's not that religious facade. I'm not in any way endorsing New Age. What I'm telling you is it doesn't build a glass dome over an area like religion does. Let me tell you what Memphis is about. Religious people redefining truth to accommodate their own weaknesses. There's no more apostles today. Well, believe whatever you want to. For the guests here, you don't have to call me apostle. Call me Clay. I'm not interested in titles. But let me just share with you, there are apostles today. There are prophets today. There are evangelists today. There's shepherds today. There's teachers today. There's intercessors today. Remember, we're talking about how do we get a renewed mind? We read the Word of God. We pray the Word of God. We meditate the Word of God. See, meditating the Word of God will cause you to act differently. And then number 4, do the Word of God. See, doing the Word of God will cause you to receive differently. You must sow to reap. Let me tell you what the church in Memphis has become, Mid-South has become, the Dead Sea. Everything flows in and nothing flows out. Let me just share with you, a lady started coming to this church several years ago, and then the first 2 weeks that she visited this and decided to become, even before she decided to become, this is what she told me. She said, I've been running a prayer meeting in my home for 9 years, and would you have a problem if I continued the prayer meeting? I said, no, please do. And this is what she said. The last two churches that I attended, they told me that I'd have to shut it down. And then I said this one other time, told this, and somebody sent me an email and said, what if they're praying wrong? Then their prayers don't get into the throne room. See, insecure leaders want to become the Gestapo to tell you what you can do and can't do. What I want to do is raise up a people that know how to hear Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's coming. What's coming? It's coming one of these days, me or Jim or Dan Billman or Matt or Ben or somebody's going to be up here preaching, and the power of God, the revelation of God's going to come on Art over here, and he's going to come up and say, and just take the service over and finish out the very sermon we were preaching. That's called one body working together. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse her, talking about the church, with the washing of water by the word. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10 through 12 says, and in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you must also complete the doing of it. That as there is a readiness to desire it, there will also be a completion of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what one does not have. How many of you know that you don't have to become perfected for God to use you? That's man's doctrine. We're gonna close the service out today with commissioning Art and Wanda Phillips. They already have, but they're taking over the intercession and prayer and going to lead that charge and be dealing, teaching and dealing. Already run a class here, and we're also gonna commission. And Lisa, I want you to tell about where you're going to be ministering next Saturday. It's with Debbie Smith. And there's some healing meetings out at the gathering. Joey Hosey, have I got his name right? Part of it. I think Carol Leake's out there, several people. And Dr. Lisa Hendricks is here. She's part of NEI, part of us. And with it, she's going to be teaching out there as well. And we're going to commission her today. But here's what I want you to catch. It's 12:30. I thank you for your patience with that. But this is what I want you to catch today. We've got to get some of this old way of thinking dealt with. I want to go back to one point I made earlier. If you believe that God put sickness on people to teach them something, then it's very difficult. Now, it's impossible to believe that God can heal you. I sat with a couple about a year ago that told me they believed that. And I said, well, if you really believe that, take that young child of yours and just put a little bit of sickness on it so you can teach it something. Oh, I'd never do that. And I said, and God is a better parent than you are. But see, there's such a tension there between when you believe that or if you don't believe. And you know, can I tell you the serious thing that's going on now? That people that don't believe in church, just because the church has become warped and out of balance and on some thing, don't quit believing it. It's God's expression in the earth. Let me just, I really am going to close with this. How many of you believe your body was created to heal itself? Anybody here ever had a pretty serious wound or, you know, I mean, a few weeks ago, as you know, I had to change tire on the side of the road on the big black enclosed trailer sitting back here at the back of the lot. And one of the lug nuts was bad, and I had a four-way lug just about that big, and I pulled something in my lower back, and I mean, it was a fiasco. But I'm healed today. See, my body, you know, years ago I was running a handsaw, and I have a scar right there where it hit a nail and jumped, and I cut completely into the bone like that, and it healed itself. Now I want to paint you another picture. How many of you believe that Matt and Natalie, because they're husband and wife, are one? Then if Matt's body was created to heal itself, aren't Matt and Natalie created to heal as being one? In other words, Matt and Natalie Koss, the Koss family is created to heal itself. Come on.
Yeah.
Now let's take us one more step. How many of you believe the family here at Citygate was created to heal? And then the church universal is created to heal. Let me tell you why that we need each other. It says, forsake not the assembling of some house in order to stir up love. How many of you have come to understand love heals? The preemies, the babies that are premature, they've shown that if the more contact that they can give them, the more they're held, the more love that they receive in that preemie unit, the better they do and the more chances. You know, it used to be a time they'd never touch them. They were so afraid of disease and with it. And they just isolate them and couldn't be. And they couldn't bring it in, the mom. And it has dropped. I don't know the current statistics, but one time it dropped over 30%. 30% more preemies were living as a result of that love being poured into them. Love's a healing thing. Everybody wants to be loved. So Matt's created to heal. Matt and Natalie as a family unit are created to heal. City Gate's created to heal. And the body of Christ with it. Let me tell you something. That's why we need to be here. We don't just meet so we can hear a good or bad sermon, whichever one you think this was. I'm okay if you think it is bad. You know, all I got to do is walk out of here knowing I pleased him.
That's right.
I'm real secure in that.
That's right. That's right.
There's healing. That's right. I just keep meeting. Oh, tell me your first name, ma'am.
Rebecca.
This is your first time here? Couple times. I'm preaching to everybody, but I'm preaching to you. Not really not picking on you. I'm just you know, you know, sometimes it's to be a seer is a great thing, and sometimes to be a seer is not so great because you can really become connected, and I see your hurts and I see your disappointments. But can I just tell you, this is the word of the Lord. There's love and healing in this house for you. You'll fit here where you hadn't fed other places. Because the other places want to dig into your background. We don't care what your background was, because we read in an old book that says he cast our background, S-I-N, our background into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be brought up again. That's how we live around here. Everybody, anybody here beside me ever need a fresh start? A new beginning.